Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Average on the Couch, an in-depth look at the arch. What now? I got a good start for once, and you've spoiled it.
I ruined it by life. I'm sorry.
You did, yeah.
Well, last week, did you know that there was a huge gap between?
Yes.
I don't know how that happened. Lots of things went wrong last week, didn't they? I have
theories about what happened.
You keep it to yourself. Nobody's interested in your theories.
No. I can imagine. Shall we start again?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, here we go. Now I'm sniggering. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with Executive Director Cooper. That's it. Just Cooper. The rest of us are incidental. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week at Paul Kenton's sickbed. I say Paul Kenton, not because he's stuck at Ambridge Hall, which sounds completely delightful with nice roast dinners, etc., but because he is laid up and cannot get away from David, who seems to show an interest in how much pain he is in that verges on the indecent. David decided to muck in by entirely abandoning the farm without consultation just before lambing to go and play at being a landlord. Having put his foot in the crisp box, blithely ignored the dishwasher, which he normally refers to as mum, so he's not sure how it appears to be a sort of hot, wet, cupboardy thing, and had some jolly chats with Derek Fletcher, who laughed so much he fell off his chair, causing Jolene to think someone had been shot. Lillian was desperate to be rid of him, but no, he was helping. So there we are. It was at this point that I swear to God, Lillian, trying to make a point to David as he was being a pedant, said tomato, tomato. Not tomato, tomato, but tomato, tomato. Did anyone else hear that? Did no one listening in the studio think, now that's odd. Why would Lillian just suddenly say tomato, tomato? Is she having a stroke? But no. And on we went. This was also a week of strange suggestions. Pip was understandably pissed off at having to rebuild fences while her dad was dicking about pouring pints over his own foot. So Ruth bewilderingly suggested she cheered herself up by discussing the death of her grandfather. Then Fallon and Alice, apparently what you need to do when your new relationship is being threatened by your addict status being discovered and disapproved of, is not talk to your boyfriend, or indeed his mother, but go and play mini golf with a policeman. It solves everything. I had no idea. And all mad things come in three, so the last loopy idea was kitten training. Apparently, Denise is running kitten training sessions with socialising. You can't train cats to be social. That's the whole point of cats. They sit on fences and go, and then try and scratch each other's eyes out. And don't all write in and tell me that your cats have all got pen friends and go on exchange trips, as I simply won't believe you. If I had attempted to put Sybil in a box and inform her we were going to the vets to make some friends, she'd have had my arm off. And I know for a fact that Kerry Davis had a cat who was very much like Hilda Ogden, so he knows of what he writes. There were some very wearying and also slightly uncomfortable making jokes going on at Bridge Farm involving Tony pretending he'd fired Adam. Ha 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 ha. I wasn't entirely sure why, because Clary and Susan had played a trick on him. Also, I'm not sure just fabricating an upsetting story counts as a practical joke. Isn't tying someone's shoelaces together so they fall over when they stand up more that sort of thing? This just felt like two middle-aged men in comfortable jobs ganging up on the 0 hours contracted workforce and was deeply unfunny. We went to the mini golf, which went about as well as the bowling went with Helen, Adam and Ian. It's always a disaster when anyone leaves the village. It's like The Prisoner. I don't know why they even try. Anyway, Harry was inappropriate, Harrison was offended and Alice told him he'd missed her hole. All in all, not a great evening. But if we thought that was bad, it was nothing on Valentine's Day. Lillian was smoking outside and making so much noise doing it, she sounded as if she was on the wrong end of an industrial suction pump. By this time, Kenton, like a Dalek, could finally do stairs, so was back at the bull surveying the almighty prick that David becomes the second he gets behind the bar. What else happened? Paul's grandma had a fall and was poorly. Denise said she was in the right place, which for one horrible minute I thought meant behind the bar at the bull, but it turned out is actually in hospital. I thought Harrismith was surprised to see his mum outside work, but it turned out to be his boss. And I discovered that I much prefer drunk Tony to sober Tony. He also seemed to get significantly posher, which was interesting. I also discovered that I preferred drunk Harry to sober Harry too. Was I correct in thinking that he said piss? Well, there we are, coming into our village, saying piss, taking his shirt off, drunk driving and assaulting little Harrismith. Get lost, Harry, we don't need you. We not only have our own irritating drunks, thank you, but our very own infuriating barmen too. The end.
Yes. I have a theory, by the way.
Yes, Harry's an alcoholic. No.
Well, I'm not sure that's so much a theory anymore as a nailed-on certainty, but...
Really? No, it wouldn't be that obvious, surely.
Or maybe a drink problem, at least, with maybe not being a full-blown alcoholic. But no, my theory is about tomato.
Ah, what is it?
I think it might have been deliberate.
Why?
And, well, so tomato means that two, you know, obviously means that two things are so similar as to not be worth mentioning, or two, you know, slightly different, that's all.
Yes.
And tomato is a step beyond that, where actually the two things that you are comparing are entirely identical, which I think was the point that Lillian was making. I can't even remember what it was about now, but I think that was the point that Lillian was making. So it might have been deliberate, I think.
Ah! Oh, I feel silly now.
Well, no, I mean, your theory still...
I've never heard anyone say it, though. Tomato.
No, neither have I.
What a stupid thing to say. Are you a stupid person? Write in and tell us if you say tomato for no reason.
We're looking for other stupid people to spend time with, please. So do write in. I think that might have been what it was. But I know that public opinion is against me on that one.
You've already decided that, have you?
No, I think so. Just having had a glance at Twitter, yes, I think possibly, yeah.
Oh, did other people notice it then?
I know Kerry Warbis did, for instance, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, she posted something about it, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Indeed.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, she's a clever woman. She knows what she's on about, you see. So did she say this? Yes. Did she say your theory?
No, she agreed with you, I think, that,
good girl.
That somebody had dropped a ball somewhere.
Yes, yes, yes. Ridiculous. what else? Okay, so the Tony and Adam... yeah, was I felt like pulling all my own teeth out and throwing them at the radio. That was like
just they all need dunking in a river or something.
Yeah,
just ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous, and also nasty and horrible.
Yeah,
and completely out of character. What the hell, Tony? Practical jokes, Adam. Practical jokes, for goodness sake.
But if you haven't got a sense of humour, you kind of. You know,
I see what you're saying. So, if practical jokes are your go-to, if you don't actually have a sense of humour.
It's a bit like it's like a toddler watching someone smile and copying it, and thinking, "Yeah, okay, this is what you do when you say hello." And so if you know, I know this is supposed to be funny, therefore I'm going to do it because I actually have no sense of humour myself.
But except it was a shit practical joke. First of all, it wasn't actually at Clary and Susan's expense per se.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a practical joke. It's supposed to be a, you know, not misleading someone isn't a practical joke. It's just
no, telling them their dog's died isn't isn't a practical joke.
Not really.
Just
stop crying.
Just
now.
Kidding.
Yeah.
No, but I mean they hadn't done anything. They'd pulled Adam's leg a little bit. And then he got the sack.
Yeah.
I mean, if that had been me, I'd have thought, well, that's a massive overreaction from Tony, but it's not my problem. You know, I mean, They'd done nothing. They had done nothing to earn Adam the sack. It was completely. I mean, I even thought as it was happening, oh come on, this can't possibly actually be happening.
Yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed that Clary and Susan fell for it. Really.
Yeah.
I say fell for it. I mean, just you know, I think they were probably as puzzled as everybody else. In terms of you know what the hell is this?
Hang on one sec.
Mm, exactly.
I think the difference is there, though, that you're a company man and they work and live in the same village full of people they're related to. So I think probably somebody being fired is a slightly bigger deal for them than it is for you, maybe.
But so that brings me on to something I've been thinking about this week. And in fact, something you kind of alluded to in your bit, you know. So two people, Helen has gone on holiday.
Mm.
And Kenton is injured.
Yeah.
And the entire village has gone to shit. Everybody's doing four jobs all of a sudden.
Yes.
Nobody's got time for anything. The lambs are probably dying in the fields as we speak. It's bizarre. Yeah. Is the resourcing in the village that tightly stretched that they cannot cope with the most basic absences? I mean, Helen doesn't do anything anyway, for Christ's sake. How is this turned into a disaster?
I'll be in the office doing marketing, she says, yes, and just sods exactly. off, doesn't she? So it's not like she's a huge boon to anybody.
Kenton mostly does what Dave was doing this week, yes. which is you know, leaning on the bar and being chatting irritating. To his locals.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not quite sure how he's turned into a full-blown village HR catastrophe.
Well, there is something, if you want to get sort of real about it. There is a massive labour shortage in both the casual agricultural market and hospitality. Because since Brexit, we've lost a huge chunk of the workforce. And, you know, people can't fill jobs. My sister works in hospitality and they just can't. People say, oh, just get a temp in. And she just laughs heartily because there isn't anybody.
No.
So that could be right.
Well, but except maybe. That you've essentially, all you've dropped about 1.5% of the village workforce. It really oughtn't to be a problem. I could understand if you'd gone from, you know, being stretched but managing. Yeah. So, because up until now, you know, things just have been ticking over more or less. So you've gone from being stretched to managing, and then you lose 15 members of the cast, and then you've got problems, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you lose 1.5, not so much.
That was slightly ridiculous. And also, I mean, the fact that David didn't even ask Ruth and Pip.
If
he could go and play at being a bum, and he just said, no, I'll do it. And, you know, he's desperate to get off the farm. He did it with Elizabeth as well. He couldn't wait to go and wander around with a clipboard at Lower Loxley, probably because it's the only time he gets to not wear wellies, so he quite likes it. Maybe he's wearing wellies behind the bar. Who knows? But
I shouldn't be at all surprised.
But it was just... people have said things about this. Rachel Hearn said... I'm not going to do Rachel Hearn yet, which will annoy her for reasons I will explain shortly. I'm going to do... Oh, Richard Keeling talking about practical jokes. He said, I have been listening to The Archers. I can always tell when it's going to be a cross one because it's one big paragraph. There's no paragraph breaks. You can always tell. If there's lots of capitals as well, that's always a bad sign. I've been listening to The Archers for roughly 8 years, he says. In that time, I've never missed an episode. Yes, even the monologue era. My God, brave man. Yet Monday was the first time I considered skipping an episode. The synopsis on my podcast app was Revenge is Sweet for Adam. I knew exactly what was to come. The Bridge Farm practical joke storyline. It made my skin crawl. Tony the Tank Engine and Adam Eeyore Macy are the most unlikely characters to even consider a practical joke, let alone actually pull one off successfully.
Exactly.
Vince, I could see doing a practical joke. I bet Paul is all over April Fool's Day. Kenton and David.
I was just about to say Paul.
Yeah, yep. Have some decent banter. But Adam and Tony, they're the least funny characters. And did anyone even care if Adam was sacked or not?
No.
What is the point of this storyline? And why did it take up most of Monday? I don't understand how we can go from the cracking week of Kenton's assault to this in a blink of an eye. Last time I wrote in and complained about nothing happening, the cliffhanger that week was Brian having a suspected heart attack. Here's hoping this dribble is the calm before the storm again. Well,
yes, I wouldn't mind Tony being, having a medical emergency. Although I think he's going to have a medical emergency tomorrow morning when he wakes up.
I think that they should actively encourage Tony to become an alcoholic because he's so much nicer drunk than he is sober.
No, he was even more Frank Spencer.
No, but he was sweet. He wasn't grumpy and annoying. He was just giggling away at himself, trying to pay with his bus pass. And it was quite sweet, I thought.
Well, okay. Considering how earnest and
annoying,
wet he normally is, I agree. I will take drunk Tony over sober Tony. But he's a very, very low bar.
Richard said something.
Richard reminded me of. So Adam was only in the dairy as a favour anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he wasn't actually getting sacked from anything at all.
No.
Oh, he does work for. Okay, just getting sacked from Bridge Farm in general. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I do think though, I'm going to sound like Alan Bennett now in that thing that I like, where he's the vicar. When he says, you know, life's a little bit like that, isn't it? Because he, beyond the fringe, that's what I meant. Life is that you do go from high drama to, you know, the washing machine exploding, leaking. It does all happen in 1 week. You don't have a week where it's all drama and then it's all nothing. It's just a combination of all of it all the time, I think.
Well, except that we're supposed to be getting the highlights, really, aren't we?
Yes.
From you know, the week.
That was bearing in mind there are, wasn't it?
Yes, there are 180-odd hours of... not quite. 100. Anyway, there are a lot of hours a week happening in Ambridge that we don't hear about. We get half a percent of what happens in Ambridge, give or take. So could we not just have the good bits?
Least they could do is let us listen to the good bits where something happens.
Yes, right.
Harry, have you changed your opinion on Harry? Because
I'm not sure I have,
might actually be all right, but we were being misled.
Yeah, so I did feel for him with... We need to talk about that whole Harrison and Fallon thing anyway, because there's stuff in there that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I have questions about.
Okay.
But I did feel for Harry at the... By the way, so where's this mini golf?
It's in Borchester.
It's in Borchester.
Yeah.
You see, it confused the hell out of me because I, and actually thinking about it now, this is entirely my fault. I'd assumed it was outside. It was outdoors.
Right.
And I spent a good half of that episode mentally complaining about the editing. because they all sounded like they were indoors.
Yes.
Exactly, yes.
They were.
And then realised, oh no, hang on a second, it's not outdoors at all because it's February and it's the evening. So clearly it's one of those glow golf.
Yes, things, yes.
Isn't it? Yes, so, when he dropped himself in it with Harrison, and he did sort of say afterwards, when he was talking to Alice about it, hey, what did he say? I was gabbling or I was... might not have been gabbling, but something along those lines. And I thought, there but for the grace of God, go I. Because, you know, he was nervous about meeting Alice's friends, just trying to fill the conversation, you know. And God, the number of times I've done things like that. I mean, not that specifically, thank God. But, you know, said things that I've then subsequently woken up the next morning or later in the evening gone, oh, you know.
Oh, but we all have, just, but... It's just
yes, but he recognised it and he and he apologised to Alice. Yeah. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean any of that. I was just gabbling. I'm so sorry, you know. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. I think that's okay. Quite self-aware and actually quite human.
I think the trouble was because the issue was unresolved for harassment. It was resolved as far as Fallon was concerned. Except you just never ever say to a woman, "Are you pregnant?" Ever, ever, ever. But anyway,
no.
But as Fallon recognised, the issue was more unresolved with harassment than she had realised. So that's why it suddenly became quite tricky.
They've discussed this on the show, presumably, in years gone by.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Why doesn't Fallon want children?
She just doesn't. She's not interested in them.
Fair enough. Okay, good.
She's got other things she wants to do.
And, I mean, it sounds like actually they just... rehashed a conversation they must have had in the past.
Mm-hmm. But she thought he was okay with it.
I would quite like children.
Yeah. She thought he was okay with it, but his reaction made her think, oh, maybe he's not quite as okay with it as I suspected.
But I think, do we think he is? I think he is. His explanation was quite
If anything
convincing.
Happened to his marriage with Fallon, I think... That would be if they drifted
That'd
apart.
That'd be a real shame, huh?
Yeah,
Fallon being single.
If anything happened, I thought he was quite nice when he arrested Harry. Come on now, lad.
I didn't want to have to do this
because you're going to wee on my back seat, aren't you? And I've only just got the smell out from the last one. I think. Yeah, I've forgotten what I think. I don't know what to think. Don't know. It's all gone. Never mind. But
oh, you said if anything happened to his marriage with
Fallon. If his relationship with Fallon started to go a bit flaky, I think, and he met someone else, he would then suddenly decide, oh, actually, what I've been missing all my life is children.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that would, when they're 52, meet. So I don't know why I specified 52.
I see.
Meet someone else, much younger, and then, you know, and then 2 months later, she's pregnant, sort of thing. And I could absolutely foresee that with harassment.
How old are they, by the way? Do we know?
I never know. I don't even like thinking about it because it upsets me.
Really? Why?
Well, because I don't like thinking of them getting old, because then they're going to die and things.
Well, Fallon and, I mean...
No, anybody on the Archers.
With the best in the world. I fully expect that we will be cold and in the ground long before Harrison and Fallon.
Yeah, but I don't like thinking about that either, so I just don't like thinking about any of it.
No, okay, all right.
Time passing. Don't
like it. Yes, all right. I bought his explanation to Fallon, and he... And I do think that he is happy with... If he has to choose between her and children, he would choose her every time.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. However, he said,
we picked us, didn't he?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But is it coincidence then
that
a new character has come into his life this very week?
What, Mom?
Yes, exactly, yes.
She sounds a lot older than him.
I looked up the actress.
Oh, did you?
And she, I wouldn't say she is. I'd say she's early 40s.
Right. No, I can't see it. She's only in there, I think. She's been in it before, but she's only in there to update us on the total lack of progress with finding the... Oh, Cradley Heath, apparently. Cradley Heath. Thank you, Ray Beddow. Cradley Heath, gangster. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did anybody say anything different?
Me, I said Cradley.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You missed a chance to correct me, Jeffy.
I don't know if I'd... I mean, now you say Cradley Heath, I know it's Cradley Heath, but I clearly didn't notice it before. So.
No.
I'm not sure I'd have. No. I don't think I'd noticed anyway.
No.
Yes, Harry. And his, again, his you know, obviously had far too much to drink and making a tit of himself, and getting a bit leery, a bit bolshy. But again, you know, who amongst us
Has not taken their shirt off and had a waz in front of a group of people in a bar? Me, for one, I have not done that. I do not wish to know you have.
Me neither.
No.
Honestly, who'd do such a thing? No. It was quite, I thought it was, you know, I do, obviously, I in no way condone that behaviour, but I have seen it and...
and disapproved heartily. But...
Oh, I did. I completely disapproved, but nonetheless, I thought it was quite endearing.
Yeah, but it's very tricky because anything to do with booze when you're going out with an alcoholic becomes emotionally loaded.
Exactly.
And that's why it's going to be problematic. Also, I've just remembered what I wanted to say. And Richard Keeling talking about why this ridiculous thing with Clary and Susan and everything. Everybody on Twitter, Richard, which he's on, so I'm sure he knows this, so I'm probably preaching to the choir, but anyway, said this is going to somehow come back and bite them on the arse. And
what's going to come back and bite?
That Clary and Susan are going to make a complaint or something like that and talk about, you know, that they would felt stressed or humiliated or embarrassed or something by Tony and Adam's behaviour, and it will all come back and get nasty for them somehow.
I can't imagine those two triggering something like that, but perhaps somebody else will hear about it.
Yes.
And sort of, you know, chaperone them into it.
Yes.
Possibly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. This is from Steve Barry, who has headed it Dear Lord Above, so you can tell what sort of a week he's been having. Firstly, is Harry a wrong'un? I'm with Jeff, to be honest, and I'm not sure whether he's just a patronising little twerp or he's actually bad. I'm not sure if anyone has suggested this, but does he have an addiction problem himself? This would explain his mother's concerns about him getting together with someone who has similar issues. Yes, I thought that. And lots of people have said, painkiller addiction, blah, blah, blah. Secondly, Hilda. I'm going to split this into two parts. Firstly, Hilda is Peggy's cat and is therefore Peggy's problem. Secondly, am I the only person who thought that the cat was about to crap, like the cat in the crypt, into Tony's brand flakes, other cereals are available, in last week's episode? Thirdly, Kenton, probably best summed up by the initials FFS. My job might skew my opinions on this, but if you are in a hospital bed and they have not asked you to leave, as we all know, they are currently very difficult to get into. And if, as a relatively young man with a supportive family, they are not carrying your bags to the door for you, I suggest you stay in the bed until they tell you otherwise. Lastly, I struggle to understand how Jeff could discuss great music of our time for the Black Country and not mention Robert Plant, born in West Bromwich and brought up in Hales Owen.
Yes,
so called Jeff.
And I realised I had also omitted the Mighty Lemon Drops. Also another Black Country band, actually, that I'd forgotten. But I was, in my defence, I was specifically talking about Stourbridge.
Okay. Yes.
So, and neither Robert Plant nor the Mighty Lemon Drops were from Stourbridge, I don't think. Or maybe this Mighty Lemon Drops might have been, actually. But Robert Plant, definitely not. And neither was, Slade, also, I think, Black Country band.
Ray Beddow says, I would like to point out that not all Black Country folk are thuggish, murdering arsonists, and if you mention it again, I'll come round and burn your house down. By the way, you had a good stab at defining the location of the Black Country, but you did make the mistake, as most from outside of the region do, that the Black Country and Birmingham are one and the same. We are most definitely not. Calling a Black Country man a Brummy is akin to saying Newcastle and Sunderland folk are the same because they're all Geordies. Anyway, we might not have the scene with the Lake District, but the locals are the friendliest, most warm-hearted people in the country. And yes, I'm proud to be one of them. All the best. Ray from Cradley Heath. He said, I mentioned... Cradley Heath a couple of times last week's episode, but I don't remember it being mentioned in the Archers. No, it wasn't. I just used it in a sketch. Can I just put in the monologue? Can I just point out that it is pronounced Cradley, not Cradley, as per the spelling? Bit pedantic, I know, but you don't want to upset the locals. You never know what they might do, he says.
No, quite, yes.
Thank you, Ray.
I don't remember saying that the Black Country was in Birmingham.
It was probably me. Or more likely, let's blame Harriet. She's skiing.
Perhaps we implied it. Yes. No, Harriet.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Harriet again.
Harriet, duh, brain. Harriet is back next week, and she messaged me this morning to say nobody had broken anything.
Pleased to know, listeners.
She said nobody had broken anything, but they had all had a nasty stomach upset, which she described as heading down the green run. So,
no.
So
that happens. The bless them, that happened. Yes, some holiday 18 months ago as well, didn't
yes.
they? All got.
Yes, I don't know.
The galloping.
It trots, yeah.
Yes.
Backyard gallops. Now.
The sour. What is it? The sour apple quick step.
Ooh, oh, God. oh, dear. We've got a bit of a. Yes. What about a trigger warning on this episode? This is from Steve Parrott about split stitches because of Kenton leaping around behind the bar and splitting everything open.
Was that really this week? It seems
no,
like
it was
forever.
The back end of last week. Those of a sensitive disposition may wish to look away, he says. The talk of Kenton doing something silly and splitting his stitches took me back to the time I had my vasectomy. Nothing vigorous for a while was the post-snip advice. 4 days later, I was doing an It's a Knockout. And I didn't want to miss it. The inevitable happened.
Steve.
There was blood. One of my teammates was of a nervous disposition and very nearly fainted. What larks, Pip,
says. Steve.
Oh, my God.
It's a knockout, really?
Yeah.
He's aging himself there, isn't he? Because nobody's
a cock
done
out,
this knockout
yeah, anyway.
For about 30 years.
Yes. Now...
One of these days, I will tell the listeners my vasectomy story.
Yes, but not now, though.
Absolute cork.
If anyone writes in and says they want to hear Jeff's vasectomy story, I will hunt you down and kill you. Just to
hashtag,
let you know.
hashtag, team Jeff's vasectomy story. Let's get it trending, people.
God, Graham Watson has written in. Heading his email, Bloody Alison fucking Hammond. Hello, both. I've just been catching up with last week's podcast. The sketch was sublime. I spat out my coffee on the train. Your reference to Alison Hammond amused me greatly.
Yes, okay.
Until Matt's Pulp Fiction.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Play out was rudely cut off after only a few bars by a bloody kitchen advert featuring Alison Hammond.
No.
Yes, it was for Wren Kitchens because I heard it as well. It's wow, as she says. So as a request, please can we have a reprise of Archer's Pulp Fiction so I can imagine Pip in her Uma Thurman outfit and laugh at just how bad the dancing would be. Yes, of course. I'm very sorry about that. It was a bit of a technical snafu last week, wasn't it? So we will be playing Matt's Pulp Fiction tribute at the end of today's show.
We hope so.
Yes,
we think
we're going to. he says that he's also pleading for a Hats I've Known reprise. On the newbie front, I recently introduced my fabulous colleague Anita Yenna Small to the podcast. Can you give her a shout out
Anita
as a newcomer?
Small.
Note, she even reads Farmers Weekly. I don't, and I live on a farm.
Yeah. Anita Yenna Small doesn't sound British.
No, it sounds
Scandinavian.
She's wearing a nice jumper, probably.
Okay. Well, I think that makes it all the more remarkable, really, that she's chosen to listen to the arts.
Yes.
Good luck is all I can say.
Good luck. Good luck, and especially good luck listening to us, Anita, and welcome to the circus. Right. Matt Rodriguez Payne wants to know why
his music wasn't played last week.
Yeah, well, that, but also why Ruth's pronunciation of Gables sounded like she was impersonating a Geordie. Gables!
I didn't notice that.
Gables! She went. It was very, very forced, even for her.
Oh. Mm. No, I didn't notice that.
There's a bit of sibling rivalry going on, which is appropriate, bearing in mind the Tony's rant this evening about you should all love each other and everybody should be lovely all the time. I miss Jenny, darling.
It actually took me a minute or two to realise that he was being drunk. You know, I don't know what I thought was going on, but I didn't realise that was it.
He was having some sort of fit.
Yes, so stroke possibly.
Charlotte and her sister Rachel were in a competition to see who could email us first.
Oh yeah.
And I had one email from Rachel Hearn.
That's a bit like the who was the earliest drinker.
The longest drinker. Rachel Hearn had an email, busy pub since when? Sent it 12th of February 2158. And Charlotte sent it 12th of February 2149. So I'm afraid Charlotte pipped. She's and hers is headed, trying to get an email to you before my sister. So that's
cheating. I think that might have to be disqualified on the basis of not having any actual content. Or does it have content?
It does have content.
Oh,
she says, we love your podcast, and each week we delight in messaging each other things which might come up in Ambridge on the Couch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't message each other. Message us, and then we can use them, you see. It's no point you coming up with good ideas just between you. Yes, send them directly to us. It's our treat on
then
a Sunday.
We can pass them off as our own.
That's what I mean. It's our treat on a Sunday to plug in the AirPods and listen to you both laughing away. Love you, Rachel, she says. Well, yes, it's probably too late now. You've pissed her right off, Charlotte. So that's, bang goes your Christmas card. Rachel says, my sister and I are confused. Since when did the Bull become the epicentre of Borchester social life? As far as we're aware, the pub is in financial dire straits and they're constantly thinking up ways of enticing customers in, especially in dry January. And now the punters are flocking, maybe to catch a glimpse of the glamorous Jolene. Yes, and to set the dog on her. Ah, the Archer's plotline inconsistencies. Our family has been listening since the early 90s when our dad didn't replace our broken TV. I love
needs
the fact
must and all that
someone's committed their entire lives, committed 20 years of their lives to listening to a programme that they only started because the TV broke. Well, welcome aboard, Rachel and Charlotte. It's very nice to hear from you. And any good ideas, send them our way. Right. This is from Kate Renders.
Oh, yes. Just to talk about the Bull there. It is, obviously, it's a Kenton and Jolene storyline. So obviously, we're seeing a lot of the Bull. But it is really, it's quite odd, and I have noticed it, because for about the first, I would say the first year or two that I was listening, Kenton and Jolene and the Bull hardly featured at all.
Really?
Yeah. It's really only been in the last year or so that there has been... So starting with Bert Fry carking it, I think, there's been a lot more going on in the Bull. But for a year or two there was hardly anything. Other listeners may or may not have noticed, but I did notice because that was when I started. And so for me, the Bull was completely peripheral until it wasn't. And then, that's why I noticed, is because when they started running storylines in the Bull again...
you thought, where the hell are we?
I thought, wow, where does this come from?
Yeah. I'm going to have to put you on a pause again because the executive director needs a wee.
Oh, does he?
Hang on one sec. Sorry, that was like an Austin Powers wee. the vet that gave him an anti-thingy-me-bob, and it makes them wee a lot. So, yes, he had to go out and...
That'll be a restless night tonight, then.
It will. Smashing. Now, talking of doggos and the pub, as we sort of were, this is from Kate, mum of baby Molly, who is not a baby...
Hello, Kate.
Who is not a baby anymore, but a crazy 19-month-old toddler. Ooh, good luck, Kate. Anyway.
Yikes.
She said, I thought I'd message in with my hot take on why Kenton was attacked by the dog. And I completely agree with Harriet. When Kenton was in the pub announcing the longest drinker, he shouted at the baddies and whistled at them to shut up as if they were dogs.
Yep.
I distinctly remember him whistling a few times because I too detest being whistled at. And I remember thinking Kenton was rude, which is what stuck in my mind. So then I think they responded in a dog attack as a direct result of this whistling and perceived disrespect from Kenton. I obviously think a dog attack in response to this is completely outrageous and disproportionate, but this is my view on why they sought revenge. This dog attack really was completely terrifying, and I actually welled up and had my hand over my mouth the whole time.
Yeah.
I disagree because
yes, me too.
You could hear the panic in the man's voice when the dog got loose.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have done that if it had been intentional.
No, I also think, as much of a wrong and as he obviously is, I believed him when he said to Jolene that the dog had got, you know, had got off the lead.
Yeah.
The dog got away from him.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, The bit about Kenton, the way Kenton was speaking, I think we discussed it last week as well, is absolutely bang on. He was noticeably, I talked about pub landlords I have known. It was way out of order, the way he was speaking to people.
Yeah.
I don't think it caused the dog attack.
Okay. This is from Isabel Hughes about the joy. You know, everyone's got theories about joy.
Yes.
Okay. She says,
"Oh dear, is this going to be sad?"
Yes. Oh. Rochelle was isolated from Joy by her abusive partner, and then he killed her. When Joy was trying to make sense of what had happened, she came across Helen and Rob's story. There were so many similarities with what had happened to Rochelle that Joy felt compelled to see Helen and her family up close, so she moved to Ambridge. She cozied up to Tony first, reeling him in with her classic car, then befriended Helen and the boys. Ta-da! My case closure rate is far better than Harrison's. Isabel Cooper's case closure rate is better than Harrison's. Thought you might like to know that what the hell is happening here in my version of Harriet's version of Clary's voice has become a core expression in my small team at work. None of my co-workers have asked why we have to say it in that particular way.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's great.
What the hell
I
is
like
happening
that.
Here? Yeah. And this is from Alison McNabb, who says, I was responsible, much to my surprise, for the credit switching from Cooper to Matt. I remarked on Twitter that it seemed a shame that Cooper got mentioned in the credits rather than Matt, when the latter created brilliant end of podcast music every week and the former didn't appear to add anything to the podcast other than being occasional Foley artist. However,
Cooper is
very photogenic and I'm sure he will add appeal to the forthcoming Instagram account. I also outed Michael Gorman as being a librarian superhero guru. Every Friday evening, I think I must... Oh, I meant to email Ambridge on the Couch and realise I forgot. She said...
Do you remember this week at least?
Yes. And she said she's been listening to older episodes and I've heard both Harriet and Lucy enthuse about Twitter on several occasions, and I've heard Jeff having a stab at explaining something, although he does so much less frequently. I suppose as artists, you are allowed to be fickle. However, I would thoroughly recommend the earlier episodes to anyone who needs cheering up. Alison, who is a reluctantly retired librarian, a greyhound owner, and a churchgoer who gets profoundly irritated by the Church of England storylines.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I wonder why.
Well, because they're probably not accurate.
Yes, but I mean, okay, but more specifically, tell us more about that.
Tell us more. Now, do you remember
where they're going wrong?
Last week's What the Hell is Happening Here?
I remember sniggering all the way through it. What was it?
It was... Hang on, I'm just trying to... Because James Everett's... Oh, it was... It was... Jolie... Well, it was Eddie going, boobs.
Yes, right, yes, yeah, exactly. Yes. Mm.
Apparently, it was from Valentine's 2014, 10 years ago. Jolene thought...
Only 10 years ago.
Jolene thought Kenton's Valentine's Day meal was a bit dull, so to spice things up, she held another event at the Bull, a singles night in the Bull upstairs, trying to attract a younger market. Harrison's girlfriend, Justine, left him halfway through the meal to spend Valentine's with her ex. Harrison went on to join the singles night after some persuasion from Jazza and then got with Melanie, who Jazza was hoping to make a move on. Oh, that happens quite a lot.
Did we hear
Melanie?
Was she a talking...
I can't remember. Character? I don't think we did.
Okay.
No, I don't think we heard Justine or Melanie. I think it was all, you know, it was all sort of recorded speech, literally.
You said that happens a lot to Jazza, because when I, as I started listening, Trazza had just become, I think it was that new year that they bunked up in the cricket.
Yeah, because before he fancied Hannah. He really fancied
Hannah.
That's
right. No, he,
and
she talking
about got
that
off
the
with
other
Tom
day, yes.
Yeah. Instead. And,
really?
Was it Tom or was it, no, Johnny?
It can't have been Tom.
Johnny then.
Yeah, Johnny would make sense.
Yeah. And so poor Jazz has got a bit of a track record for kind of getting, fancying people and then watching them wander off with other people.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, thank goodness he's...
Yes.
He's finally...
It's all right now.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So we're going to have a bit of this.
What the f*** is happening?
Is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
sorry, Harriet, sorry.
It's a kind of psychopathic behaviour.
What?
Well, you quite often find it in criminals when they have absolutely no conception of the damage they're doing.
Is that supposed to be some kind of excuse for him?
No, of course
now, please,
not.
Just spare me your insights into the criminal mind.
Well, I just meant
I don't care why he's like that, OK? I just want to find out where he's holed up and wipe that smarmy, ingratiating smile off his face and knock his perfect teeth out.
Alan!
I want to punch him to the floor and kick him when he's down.
Shh, Alan, you'll wake Amy.
And I shouldn't be feeling like this. I'm a man of God. I'm a peacemaker.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I shouldn't be like this.
I know what that one is.
What the hell indeed? I've got no idea.
That was Alan's daughter, Amy.
Hang on.
What?
You're not supposed to.
Oh, sorry.
You're not supposed to.
Okay. Can everyone please write in so that
Can everybody stop listening for 30 seconds while Lucy tells me what was going on?
Okay.
So just put your fingers in your ears now, listeners.
Go la 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 la. Shall I whisper? Then they won't be able to hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's perfect, yeah. So.
Amy was going out with the bloke.
No, you can't.
Well, anyway.
Like, I assumed Amy was a child because they were worried about waking her up.
No, it's because they were talking about her boyfriend.
Okay.
Mm. Now,
no, you've said it. Oh.
Yes, I know. I've completely given it away now.
Oh!
We sound like Chelsea. Now, this is a sad one. It's a Valentine's
another
Day
one
that James Everett sent in. Another one. This is a bonus one for Valentine's Day. You ready?
Oh, I see. Another. Okay, yeah.
Ready? On. Shall I tell you what it is before so that you can be
no,
suitably...
No, don't tell anybody okay. what anything
no,
is.
No, you don't
stop
have to guess this
people.
One. This is just a sad one.
Oh, all right.
He said it was... Oh, no, he said read after
no,
clip.
Just play.
So I will.
Yes, yeah. Don't. Just play.
I will follow destructions. Okay.
Yes.
Here we are. Come in.
Thank you. Oh, what a lovely day we've had.
Phil's got his music on. What's the betting he's having a nap?
Ooh, lovely and warm.
Put the kettle on, can you, Chris?
Right.
Oh, yes. A cup of tea would be lovely.
I'll just see if Phil would like a cup.
Oh, dear.
There you are. You've already had a cuppa, I see, Phil.
Oh, dear.
Phil?
Oh, no.
Jill?
Oh, no.
Phil?
Oh. No, Phil.
Thank you.
Blimey, well, at least James warned us this time. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm a bit sad now.
Well, wait for this then. On Valentine's Day, a few days after Jill found the card Phil had written, to my wife on Valentine's Day, you bring me sunshine every day all my life.
Wow.
Mm. Thank you, James.
James. God. By the way, if anybody knows what that music was that was playing, please let me know, because it was beautiful.
It was, wasn't it? And I love the way they brought it up as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really lovely.
Yes, it was very cinematic, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
That was I mean, I didn't even know Phil, but oh, how sad.
Mm.
Poor yeah. Jill.
Yeah. Nice way to go, though. Cup of tea by the fire in peace. No one there.
Nice, yes. Yeah.
I think I'll pop off now. Yeah. He also says about, he was whinging about the lack of Pip, that we'd had the whole Archer family and no Pip last week. So he's now delighted. Said, what did I say? I could sense she was coming back. What a great business idea. How would Brookfield cope without her keen business mind? Also, does Ruth need a thesaurus? Does she only know the adjectives shiny and tatty? Yours sincerely, the Pip Archer fan club.
So about that business idea, I mean, in all seriousness, I came up with, I was sat in the pub last week watching the rugby, and the boys and I came up with not one but several business ideas along the same lines in the pub over a couple of pints. It wasn't exactly John Harvey Jones, was it? Yes, yeah, yeah.
The pub here?
Yes.
What ideas did you come up with?
Well, about the pub of the golf club and so on.
Oh.
I did tell you about it, yes. But yes, it wasn't exactly John Harvey Jones stuff, was it? Let's see if we can get Gay Grables to possibly say something nice about us at some point.
Well, someone said on Twitter, if I was having a really swanky spa weekend at Gay Grables, the last thing I'd want to do is go schlepping around some filthy old cow patty farm.
Well, yeah, right. And right, honestly, if Gay Grables wanted to do a barn dance, they could just do their own barn dance, couldn't they?
They've got gazebos and everything.
Be in the barn.
No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, no, do we know, impressed. Is Gay Grables actually open now?
I mean, it must be, because...
Brad's working there. So bless him.
They were a couple of weeks away from opening, and that was, you know, a month or 6 weeks.
But I want to know how it's going. No one tells me anything.
Do you know, really?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
No, I love Gay Grables. It's my favourite building in Ambridge. It's my favourite business.
Okay.
Of all Ambridge businesses. Business.
Business. Businesses.
It's my favourite business. Right. We are now crossing over to BBC Radio Borchester. BBC Radio Borchester. Where
Radio Borchester or Borsetshire?
I don't know. I change
Radio
it every time, don't
Borsetshire.
I?
It's Borsetshire. It's Borsetshire.
Where Febreze is dispensing advice.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, please can I have special broadcasting footstool for my special broadcasting seat? I have injury. I did mini golf with Graham. It is new, and I was hoping there would be gala opening with goodie bag. But there was just grumpy teenager with spot, who charges £12 each, and Harrison and Fallon having argument. And I hurt my leg. I was wearing my wedge eel boots and I slip over on a very tricky shot, twist my ankle and bent my windmill. 3 out of 10 would not recommend. Have you been? No. Hello, it is me, Fabrizio Felpisham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. I hope you all had a lovely Valentine's Day, and although I am supposed to say it does not matter if you did not, because it is commercial, but only people who did not get card say that. I got lots, even one from my broadband provider with special offer, which just show how irresist I am. This week, I will be handling queries. In my time being a style guru, influencer and professional stylist, I have get to know many intimate facts about my clients. I am very discreet and never share, except sometimes on Facebook if I have had a Prosecco and forget. So I ask on Twitter, please send me your problem and I am Aunt of Agony and will give you advice which is style, practical and occasionally brusque, because we all need that now and again. First up, we have one from Rachel Kennedy, who says she have a friend who work in a dairy. Can you advise my friend how she can lighten up her life without resorting to practical jokes on a daily basis? And what hat go best with an air net? Okay, first, the air net. No hat go with air net. You just have to accept look like inner Sharpie. I would say style it up a little and maybe some glitter, a few flowers and a feather poke through the hole, like Adam does. And now, the more difficult one. If you are so miserable in your job that you have to do practical joke, leave. Practical joke are only done by people who are on verge of nervy breakdown or have zero, none sense of humour. Oh, it is very funny that you have pulled my chair out behind me or put my lunch on top of the toilet. It just show how stupid is a practical joke that the people who have it done to them don't laugh because they are too busy working out if they have to throw their lunch in the bin now. So the only people that laugh are the people who knew what the joke was in the first place. It is not very funny, and I think you should have to involve the police if someone do one on you. Maybe they should not have to go to prison, but just be tingle a bit with a taser. Yes. What is next? Oh, this is from Fluffy Ollie. Hello, Fabrice. I have a sensitive issue for which I would appreciate your help. I had my hair done recently by Chelsea Orobin, and I'm really not pleased with it, but I'm very anxious about approaching her with my complaint. Any advice would be appreciated. Well, Fluffy Ollie, now, I wonder if you were fluffy before Chelsea Orobin got hold of you with her diffuser. Anyway, I think you probably should never have gone to her in first place, so my sympathy is limited. You have an exclusive but reasonable price salon with international stylist guru at Elm, but no. You choose to go to vaping adolescent with no salon who cut hair in kitchen with a tea towel round shoulder and wash it in Carex. It is your own fault. However, maybe you were bullied into it because I know she use sales tic-tacs that are a bit scary sometimes. I mean, often people don't even realise she is cutting their hair until she is halfway through. I would be gentle and say it did not look how you imagined it. You would like her to refund you as you are going to have it redone and then get a voucher from her for Fabrice of Felpersham. Now, we have Sarah Mattox, who say, Dear Fabrice, I have a friend who has fallen for a horsey type, but I find him a complete arse. How should I try and warn her off? Oh, Sarah, this is also very tricky. Horsey people are often not very clever, as they spend a lot of time wheeling poo about in a little cart. Clever people don't do that. So you will have to be very, very clear when you talk to your friend to make her understand. Maybe draw her a picture, or if you are not arty, well, I was going to say take her out for a drink and a chat, but I think I know who you might be talking about, so that is not a very good idea. I think probably spend more time with his mother. That should do it. This is from Marmaduke. Is that another one of Linda Smell's grandchildren? Dear Fabrice, I'm a divorced vet, and to be honest, I have let my hair care routine lapse. I tend to wash it in anti-tick dog shampoo samples left by the rep and trim it from time to time with a oof cutting knife. But now I have met someone I want to impress. Any tips? Oh my God! I did a bit of sicky in my mouth. If this person I've already met you, looking like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, then anything you do will be an improvement. Pop in and see me. Retinol sculpt, eyelash tint and lift, eyebrow wax, air reshape, eyelights, lowlights, backsack and crack, filler and tan. Just the basic for starter. If you are lucky, she will forget you ever smell like a garden shed in heavy rain. Right, that is it. I am exhausted. Email me your problem or tweet them and I will give you the benefit of my wiseness. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you very much, Fabrice.
Thanks, Fabrice. He's very good, isn't he?
I wonder who plays.
What a talented man.
It's Cooper. That we ought to, as they were real people messaging in then, we ought to tell people that legally you are not bound to follow any of Fabrice's advice. No. In fact, we strongly recommend.
Exactly, yes. Mm. These actions are being performed by professionals.
By professional idiots.
Do not.
Yes.
Yes, but do not try this at home. The value of Fabrice's advice can go down as well as up.
We're just mostly down, really. Just go downer than before.
Yeah, I mean, it just starts down, doesn't it?
You know. So that's it. Yes, that's it. We've done everything.
Crikey.
We've done all of the things. If you'd like to leave us a review, that would be super smashing, lovely, great.
Well, if it's a 5-star review, if it's one of those the 1-star reviews, then maybe
don't
give it a swerve.
Go and do something else. Yeah. Make a cup of tea.
Save yourself the time. Honestly.
But if you've enjoyed it, please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at @onambridge. Fabrice is at fabulous Fabrice, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
That's ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And now we're going to play out with the forgotten, well, not forgotten, the cut it off Pulp Fiction Archers from last week.
Let's see, shall we?
So, assuming Harriet will presumably be back from skiing next week. 3 stone lighter, having had gastroenteritis. So, and
there's not that much of Harriet to start
with. I know. I think it's the children, not her, that's got it.
Oh, okay.
The green rose.
Oh, well, that's fine.
But yeah. Yes. And
children are very resilient.
With nothing in plaster, so that's very good. So bye-bye to everybody. Love you very much. And we will speak to you next week.
Yes. Bye.
Good, that, wasn't it?
Magic. Very, very good indeed.
Do you know what? I'm drinking. You left behind a bottle of Conwy Brewery Clogwing Gold, and it's absolutely yummy.
No, I bought it for you.
Oh, did you? Well, that's good, because I'm drinking it.
A couple of bottles in there for you.
Ooh, splendid. Only found one so far.
There were 2 in the drawer of the fridge.
Oh, it's very
nice.
2
different ones.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.